మాలా సుధాం కుంభ విబోధ ముద్ర విద్యావిరాజత కరవారి జాతాం అపార కారుణ్య సుధాంబురాశిం శ్రీ శారదాంబ ప్రణతోస్మి నిత్యం. విత్ బెనిడిక్షన్ టు జగన్మాత శారదా పరమేశ్వరి, వాగ్దేవి సరస్వతి, దట్ రిపాసిటరీ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ దట్ ఇస్ కల్చర్ నాలెడ్జ్ ట్రెడిషన్ విజ్డమ్ లెర్నింగ్ ఆర్ట్ అండ్ ఫైన్ ఆర్ట్, ఐ బో టు హర్ అండ్ టు పీపుల్ ఆఫ్ అదర్ ఫేత్, టు ఎనీ ఆఫ్ దోస్ స్పిరిచువల్ ఎనర్జీస్ ఫ్రమ్ విచ్ దే డ్రా the solace and development of education in all its aspect. I bow to those spiritual forces as well as I commence my address today. It gives me great pleasure to welcome you all to this pleasant function, the annual meet of both the teaching and the non-teaching staff of the SIS institutions organized this evening. This is just not a meet and eat or a meet to eat. It transcends much beyond that. It is an occasion for meeting of minds, of understanding each other, developing fellowship and camaraderie, and a sense of oneness being forged and fused into a larger family called as SIES. It is also an occasion for thanksgiving to each one of you, both the teaching and the non-teaching staff, for having made this academic year that is about to come to an end an extremely successful academic year, which is about to slip into pages of history and get archived in the normal process of time. It is unfortunate that such good practices that have been initiated by the society over the years demised during the turbulent periods that we were in during the last 2 years. For the matter, several of those progressive measures that we had initiated during this time also could not be seen through during this period. Much has flown down the Ganges. It is one thing, an honest and sincere attempt to revive those traditions, those cultures, those things which are an identity of this institution, which are the hallmark of this institution, and by which this institution has always been known. It is unfortunate that acts of indiscretion of a few elements had brought down the society both in stature and its goodwill temporarily, even by a slight dent that had been put on to the institution. The greatest lesson that has to learn from history is to learn those lessons and practice them, says Adolf Huxley. And that's what we have attempted to do. We have kept the past behind. We have regained our ground and are surging forward. The organization of this annual meet itself is a manifestation of that bounce back. We were indeed under a mistaken belief that the foundation of the society is strong, it's all-weather proof, and is deep-rooted, and the 80 years of experience that this society claims in this field of very high endeavor are indeed making this institution infallible. All that was belied and dusted when acts of slate brought down the institution momentarily for some time. Institutions have their highs and lows. Life itself is a process of those upheavals and goodness in life. Nobody can escape this cycle. Institutions are not alienated from the process of life itself. If autumn were to come and dry the leaves and sheen the apparatus, the main structure of an institution, it does not matter. The spring is not far behind. But academic institutions are always structured differently. Institutions which are searchlights, if they were to come to limelight, and that too for adverse reasons, catastrophe will befall those institutions. Therefore, these institutions are structured, built on an edifice that always experiences the spring of life and never the autumn of life, because the autumn spells doom for academic institutions. It is well nigh impossible to imagine the institution's management being entrusted to people who would put at stake countless number of students whose careers are built, who are developed and made into citizens by institutions like this, and several teachers and non-teaching staff whose lives and living careers are made over here. We have commenced the process of stabilizing and strengthening the organization. You will see most of the decisions that will come from the management in the days ahead are the ones which are directed towards consolidating the efforts of bringing in a dominant organization, an organization which is capable of withstanding any tsunami, which is capable of absorbing the shocks that comes during its life, institutional life, and more particularly even during those turbulent times, albeit it shall work with double energy and reinforce itself to greater heights of nobility during those testing times. And that is the hallmark of a good institution. I think we shall put in all our efforts to reach that class that an institution is expected to have during its living times. During this year, we experimented and brought about an interface between the management and the institutions and the principals. It was our conscious belief that academicians can understand academicians much better. And therefore, we brought in the position of Director Academics and Administration, who would help you to ensure representing the management that all that is required to deliver the educational programs in the campuses can be better delivered when there is somebody who understands you better. But I should honestly confess that all of you thought this is one more layer of hierarchy that has been brought in. It delayed the process of decision making, and therefore we felt that this layer would not be conducive during these periods of the institution, and we should revive and restore the old pattern of management dealing directly with the institutions through the heads of the institutions. And that's what we have announced today, that we shall deal with you directly in the days to come. And another thing that you will see on the cards as we travel along is that almost all functions of the management, be it HR, be it IT, be it estates, be it finance, accounting, legal, administration, they will all be vested in professional hands. And we shall sooner or later get a chief executive officer who shall drive the destiny of this institution, who shall infuse enthusiasm at all levels of functioning and make the institution more vibrant despite the age that catches on with the institution like any individual would like to have. Despite all this that I have said in the preamble to this address, let me tell you, even during these two last years when we did not meet, each of the institution was shining. They were shining better than the period before when the glory of the institution was being visited by everyone. The SIS College of Arts, Science and Commerce celebrated its golden jubilee during this period. It was a momentous period in the history of that institution. 50 years in the history of an institution may not be too long a period. But for that institution, it was a glorious chapter. Amongst the 650 affiliated colleges and the departments of the university, this college was adjudged the best in the university area. During this period, the magazine that the college brings out, Dakshinayanam, was again adjudged the best magazine amongst all the colleges and the university departments, which bring out an annual report at the end of the period. The 11th plan assistance for development assistance, the college received a maximum of 96 lakhs of rupees. It got a jubilee grant of 25 lakhs of rupees, an additional grant for capital expenditure of 10 lakhs of rupees, the highest ever received by any institution of SIS during these 80 years. The society itself during this period initiated the process of refurbishing and renovating the institutions. The SIS College of Management Studies was the first in the cards when the process of renovation started. Last year we expended 4 crores of rupees in the first phase and brought in some degree of semblance of a good business school. This year we have committed an additional contribution to society of closer to 100 million rupees, which will be expended during this year for the rest of the campuses of Nerul and the colleges at Sion East and Sion West, as we make them state-of-art institutions. And more importantly, learning lessons from history, we have declared this institution as capitation-free at all levels. Admission will be the management quota which is legitimately available to any institution for the matter, which only we had used all during these 80 years. Even that we are forsaking to say that merit will be the only guiding factor as far as admissions in the SIS institutions are concerned. There will be a greater degree of transparency in the process of admissions, as much it will be there in all other operations of the society and that of the affiliated colleges. The society goes one step forward to appoint a retired judge as an ombudsman for admissions, to whom any complaint relating to the admission can be addressed. And these decisions are final and are binding on the society as well as the college and any other authority to whom the process of admission applies. In the month of December 2011, we conducted an online perception study, a study which involved 13,525 students, which represented the students of higher learning in all the institutions that we have, where teaching goes beyond the school level into undergraduate, graduate and postgraduate studies and doctoral studies included. Of this, 10,624 students responded to this online perception study, registering a response percentage of 86%. Any statistical tool will convey to you that a stratified sample as large as 10,624 is too large, that it will ensure that whatever you derive as inference from the observations that are being made would be fairly accurate. And the tolerance limits will be too small to bring in any error factor to be loaded into the observations that are there. We are in the process of studying the observations of the students who had participated in this online study. But what comes out dominantly and comes out prima facie as it is from the study is that the students are not happy with the institutions across the spectrum without any change. In fact, there have been observations that have been made in the online study where a class of students believe that it is no longer relevant to go to colleges and schools, and the vast reservoir of knowledge that is available in the public domain, in the internet media, will defy one lifetime to understand, absorb and assimilate all that has been loaded in there. It has virtually come to a point of perception that institutions and academic impartation can be done without teachers. In the perception of the students, for the first time that we are experiencing that the students themselves have a degradation of the perception of the faculty which teaches them. In a country where the culture is essentially that the teacher is the first, even before God, in a country where the relationship between the teacher and the taught is quite different from the Western world, we have started experiencing the influences of the Western world which has come on to the shores of this land. And secondly, the factor that most of the programs that we are running these days are non-aided programs, where the scale of fees is far high compared to the ones that are collected by the aided institutions on behalf of the government. Students expect value for the money that they have put into fees. There is a wide and a yawning gap between what they expect when they come into the portals of the institution and what is delivered unto them inside the institutions. It is this widening gap that brings in that level of dissatisfaction to a point where the students feel that education can still be had, learning can still be done even without a teacher. This is not only true for SIES, this is true for all institutions across the spectrum. If you were to do an online study of the best of the institutions in the country, you will get results which are no different from what we have got. Why is it that such a situation has emanated in recent times, where a teacher is degraded in the eyes and in the visibility of the society? There are several factors, complex as they are, which have contributed to this perception. But I personally believe that first and foremost, the concept of education itself has been atrophied. There is a school which believes that it is all information that makes education, and most of the information which in the perception of people is valueless and one that does not deliver unto you the object and the purpose of education. It is this concept of education that has come into it that makes entire education believe that it can be done independent of teachers. The second reason, of course, is the inherent limitation in the profession of teaching. And we belong to an era where everything is controlled despite a liberalized society, despite the factors of globalization. A doctor would brook no interference in the process of addressing the ailment of his patient, in the drugs that he would give, and in the way he would ensure and plan the recovery process for his patient. A lawyer would have no interference from anyone as to how he should defend a suit. An engineer would never even imagine a non-technician coming into him and telling him as to how his plan should be converted into a construction. But all and sundry are encouraged to give solicitous advice on education, because there is a belief, there is a feeling that each one of us have gone to school, each one of us are aware as to what is being taught, what can be taught and what ought to be taught. Most of the policy planners of this country, unfortunately, belong to a domain of people with very little experience on education. It is they who guide, command and direct the flow of education in this country, and that is why the results that we are seeing today are coming across the spectrum all over the country. And a teacher, a poor teacher, is sandwiched between the rigidity of the syllabus, which does not allow him or her any flexibility or innovation, and this plethora of advice, unsolicited, that flows onto them in the form of directions, resolutions and circulars that are coming onto him. You find that he has become foreblind to the larger purpose of education. As he teaches, he becomes more and more irrelevant. More and more his impact on the students and the parents become feeble, to a point that they believe that they can do without him. We should never forget that education is as much a science as it is an art. Imagine education being imparted without a teacher. If it were so easy to provide education through libraries, through the rishis of the yore, and all through this media that we have available today, it would have been so simple, the entire world would have been literate by this time. A teacher plays a very noteworthy role in the entire committee of the education service providers all over the globe. That can never be forgotten. The second factor that affects the profession of teaching, which I am telling you today because we were ourselves worried when we saw the output that came out of the observations of the students. The second factor, unfortunately, is what a teacher does, what a teacher gives her life during the period of her journey as a teacher, is not visible immediately. It does not dazzle, it does not sparkle, that it is available for evaluation or for measurement immediately after it is being given. A doctor, when he treats, I shall go back to the same similes. A doctor, when he treats the patient, and the patient comes out of the ailment, he does not only get the hefty fees that he gets, he gets the encomium of the society for having gone and treated the patient and brought him back into life. A lawyer who takes a customer or a client out of a very tricky situation, of course, will become a super lawyer immediately, and what flows for him is more and more business. A contractor who gives an ocular dimension to all that he constructs, it is visible when you see this construction site has been done well, ends up with more and more business, more and more recognitions and credits that come his way. But a teacher would have nothing of it. It's a long journey over decades. Might be it runs even beyond decades, when you try to work on the emotions of the child, refine the emotions of the child, and chisel the character of the child and bring him to make a man or a woman out of him, and then deliver unto them into the world of competition that they are able to face and come out successful in life. There is no immediate evaluation that comes. It is this absence of this measurement of the role of a teacher in the society that has started put paid to the evaluation, the perception that the society has towards the teacher. Till yesterday we were following the scriptures of the land, we were following those noble thoughts that were given to us, where we believed a teacher can make no wrong. A teacher's only concern is for the students. Unless we go back to the glory of the land, or go back to finding a scale for measurement of the performance of a teacher, something which comes in even partially scientific, you will find that the perception of the students over time will be like this. A teacher is entitled to the tools of his trade as much as anyone else is entitled to. A professional in any field, be it architecture, be it civil engineering, the entire gamut of the tools that are available to him. Why should not it be available to the teachers? It is not just the tools of the trade that should be available to the teacher. Much more than that, he or she should be able to draw on the versatility of the tools that are available to them. so that the benefit of the tools themselves will flow on to the teacher. It empowers and enriches the teachers as the teacher gets into the process of educating the taught that are before him or her. It is this that brings out what is required for a teacher to do inward search. A teacher who lives in the past, who delivers a system of education which is exactly based on what he or she was doing 20 years before, in a world which never had the electronic explosion as we had today, will eclipse this tree. Everything which has brought about an innovation has demised the one which was before, and teaching can be no exception. Therefore, a teacher should be conversant with all the technology that is available, should be able to use the technology to the fullest extent, should be able to put it to appropriate use in the delivery of the mechanism of education that is being provided. Then you will find that the perception of the taught will improve over time. The complexity of teaching cannot be reduced only through tools. The problem that we are facing as far as the evaluation of teachers is also the tools. If the tools are to make one believe that these are adequate and therefore a teacher is not required, that will serve no purpose of teaching. Therefore, the judicious use of these tools in the hands of a resourceful teacher will make him the most successful teacher. And that's what each one of you should aspire to do. You should never say that I have come of age, I will retire in 5 years' time. Where is the need for me to go into the social media? Where is the need for me to get into internet? Where is the need for me to search and give new discoveries to my children? The moment you take such an attitude, education never stops. At the age of 89, Michelangelo said, "I regret that I am 89 years old, I have started learning sculpture." Not only the best of paintings, the best of sculpture came out of him at the end at the age of 89, because education never stops. I think that attitude alone will ensure that this perception of the students and the society at large can be revisited. The old glory of teaching as a profession, endowed with nobility, can be brought in. And I am sure that will make it very important. So what is it that we in the society can do to aid and ensure that you are able to do all this? The twin factors of practice and training are integral to elevating a teacher in the perception of the students. Practice makes a man perfect. Fritz Kreisler was the greatest pianist of the 20th century. He used to get a standing ovation for every piano concert of his. Once somebody asked him, "Fritz, why is it that at the end of every concert we feel that this is better than the previous concert, far better than the previous concerts, that every concert is an improvement over the previous ones?" To which Fritz said, "If I do not practice for a month, my discerning audience will see the difference. If I do not practice for a week, my wife will be able to tell me that, Fritz, you are not the old element that you are. If I do not practice for a day, my fingers will tell me, Fritz, you have lost your sheen." It is this continuous practice. Because I have seen teachers having notes made 20 years before and trying to come and transfer that to the students. I don't think in the environment which we are in today, such a technology will work. It might have worked in the field of chemistry, of course, where we used to have great teachers bringing in with books and giving us something far beyond the books. But then we should understand that we should grow with times. Therefore, one of the major decisions that the society, its managing council, had taken when we were visited with the preliminary findings of this online perception study was to create one more SIS institution, an SIS Center for Excellence in Teaching. It would not be here long before it sees the light of the day. This should be one institution where the society will be generous as far as the infrastructure is concerned, as far as the best of creative minds are concerned, as far as the best in the profession at various levels are concerned, who will be brought into the institution, albeit full-time, or even people who will come part-time to provide that element of training that will make you all sharp. Each teacher, be it from the aided institution or from the unaided institution, from the kindergarten or into the post-doctoral studies, will perforce have to go through this process of training. A capsule of at least a week's duration in the first half of the year, and one more capsule, which is a refreshing capsule, in the second half of the year. For a batch size of 25 trainees, we believe that we should be able to cover all the teachers who are on our rolls during a year twice. This indeed is the greatest gift that SIS shall give on the occasion of its 80th year. As the academic year 2012-13 dawns in, SIS will be celebrating 80 years of its useful existence in the cause of education. It is one thing to age. Elongation of age does not manifest the greatness of any institution. We live in deeds and not in years. Parivatini samsare mitakovana jayate sajataha yasya jatena yati vamsham savanitam, says Raja Bhartahari. In this transient world, who can escape the cycle of birth and death? But only that life is worthwhile which works for the upliftment of humankind as a whole. It is that which will make the difference. One crowded hour of glory is far better than a life without mention. The poet says, it's not like growing a tree on the bark that shall make a man better be. We live by our accomplishments, and therefore by any standards of evaluation, these 80 years of SIS in the cause of education has indeed been a journey which has fulfilled the dreams of the founders, the dreams of the succeeding management councils, which had given shape to this larger cause of providing education in the city and the extended city of Navi Mumbai. We are therefore not celebrating an influx of time, which is a certainty which comes to everyone. Every mortal will age. As long as he has a lifespan, he will age. We are not celebrating an influx of time. We are celebrating the life and times and the glory of an institution which has seen 80 glorious years. As she said, 1,000 full moons is what we describe for individuals. For an institution like us, every year is a new year where we discover ourselves. This journey will continue, but a milestone has reached. These are occasions for reflection. These are occasions for going down the memory line. These are occasions to build forward so that the next generation of students who will come in will find that we are able to provide them both technology and services which will be commensurate with the needs of that time. A teacher has got a role which is far more sharper than any one of us during milestones like this. It is a teacher who teaches. And this teaching is just not, as I told you, transferring knowledge. He controls the student. He guides it. Whenever I say he, I think you should take masculine gender also to include feminine gender, because it comes naturally to me to say he includes she. So let me say that he controls the student. He guides the student. He motivates the student. He loves the student. And to an extent, he dies for the student. A teacher is like the seed which is underneath this soil, which allows the leaves to sprout, which allows the flowers to blossom, which makes the tree stand erect, tall and majestic, and give luscious fruits. That is the role of a teacher. Let's not reduce it to one of employment, where we come and define the period of time, so many hours, 43 hours, that I don't know, I've lost count of those hours that are required for you to draw your salary. It's all much beyond that. It is not a parchment of paper, a degree that is given by an examination system over a short duration of time, where the wisest of men will be floored by the idiotic men who are the examiners, because a question that you may set may floor even the most intelligent mind. Because the canvas of knowledge is too vast that one can't, even the best of minds can have an answer for all that. So that's not what we are trying to do. We are not generating a cafeteria from where degrees are being dished out time and again to people, and we take credit for the number of graduates who passed out of it. It's ennobling, it is enriching that you are doing. The destiny of this nation, my dear friends, is in the hands of singularly one constituency of stakeholders, namely the teachers. Don't worry about people who are ruling us. Don't worry about the generation which has not come of age. Don't even worry about the generation which is in the wombs of mothers. If singularly one community can make a difference to this nation and take it to its rightful place amongst the committee of nations, it is the teachers and teachers alone. They are the builders of the nation. They are the architects of this nation. The destiny of nation is in the hands of these teachers and nobody else. The 5-year life that we have given to people who are ruling us, you will see that enlightened public opinion in the days ahead will be such that nobody can be able to stand for 5 days. I wish we all live to see those days when these people, if they don't perform, will not remain even for 5 days. So don't worry about that constituency and complain that they are responsible for the decay of this nation. You will be able to make the difference. And you are the architects. I also, the poet says, I also build, but not with steel or stone, but with the stones of innocence, of mortar which the heart makes out of itself, herself, because heart has been given a feminine this thing, out of herself. All that I build has no roof nor fence to deflect any end or distance. I am a visionary architect. May the good Lord shed His grace on all of you. May He truly make you that visionary architect into whose hands the destiny of this nation is given. May the good Lord bless all of us too, so that we too can join this noble journey of yours and contribute to the reservoir of goodness of this great land of ours. Thank you, and God bless you all.